When the young Native American, who came to be known as Ishi, entered Western society in 1911, he was considered a living relic of the Stone Age and identified as the last living member of his tribe, the Yahi. Today, it's been well established that neither of those well-known facts about him was actually true, although the popular romanticized version of his story is still widely told and retold.
We don't accept that he was the last Yahi. Today, there are 5 tribes who claim Ishi as their ancestor. Tribal relationships and migrations and grouping predated a lot of these linguistic and anthropological classifications that we have today. People moved around, people intermarried. So to say necessarily that you're from a certain place, you could have had ancestors who came from somewhere else. We know that that was really common among Native groups.
Nicole Lim is the executive director of the California Indian Museum and Cultural Center in Larkfield. She says that the need to correct the historic record about Ishi is the main reason the museum devoted its first permanent exhibit to him. Created back in 2009, is titled Ishi, A Story of Dignity, Hope, and Courage.
He lived between 1860 and 1911. And during that time, it was a very violent period for California Indians. People died from disease. People died from massacre. And Ishi was a survivor during that period, so we wanted to tell the story about how California Indians view his life and what it means to our community.
Ishi's cultural uniqueness made him a popular sensation at the time. But Lim says his personal warmth also endeared Ishi to the anthropologists who both cared for and studied him.
He lived at the museum as somewhat of a permanent exhibit, and he showed his different traditional skills. He was a huge attraction. About 20,000 visitors came through the doors to see him. But even though he was sharing information with the scientists who were studying him, he also embraced them in terms of friendship. He knew a few hundred words of the English language, and a lot of the stories that are told from people that knew him at that time talk about what a good person he was and his humor.
But it seems that precious little of that personal respect endured beyond Ishi's death from tuberculosis in 1916.
Ishi made these friendships with the scientists and had told them that he wanted his body to remain whole. And that's how, in his tradition, his body could transcend to the spirit world. He had communicated those beliefs. Kroeber even accepted them, sending a telegram, instructing them not to autopsy Ishi, and it was done anyway, and his brain was harvested, and there is a story that his brain sat on Kroeber's desk for several months before Kroeber ended up gifting it to the Smithsonian, and that in a way it slowly drove him mad.
Ishi, a name that literally means man in the Yana language, had his brain reunited with his cremated returns in 2000, more than 80 years after his death. That posthumous part of his story is told in a new educational documentary called Ishi's Return, which will be shown on KRCB television Monday evening at 7:30. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.